Merry Christmas. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During the Advent season, we've used the tree, we've used the creche, we've used the Advent wreath. We've used these symbols. These symbols of the season are things that many of us in Advent time, we use them in our own homes leading up to Christmas. But today, Christmas Day, we move beyond the symbols to the substance. Today we celebrate the incarnation, Jesus being born in the flesh. Last night, we talked about the earthly parents that God gave to raise Jesus, his son, who was born. Who was born the same as you and I are. Remember that during Advent, we've been preparing to remember the first coming of the baby Jesus. And in that first coming, like I said earlier, God kept his first promise of a Savior. The symbols of the wreath and the creche and the tree are all markers that remind us that God keeps his word. And now, his living word to us, Jesus Christ, has been incarnated. He was born for the sake of the world in the flesh. Christ was not born for some abstract, artificial, or obscure reason. Jesus wasn't born, it wasn't done as an intellectual exercise by the divinity in order to play out some cosmic game. We come back to the words of the gospel writer today that say, "And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That phrase, "dwelling among us," is what it means for Christ to be born into this world. Christ didn't come in the abstract. He came in the flesh. So the Gospel of John reminds us. And it's only by his incarnation, by this incarnation his coming in the flesh, that he could then and only then do for you and I and the world what needed to be done. He needed to come and to die. Only a true human can die. Jesus truly being born in the flesh means that Christ truly can die. The birth of Jesus in a lowly manger is a dramatic example of the equality of all people of all time before God, and that God loves all people the very same. Suppose Jesus had been born in a palace. Well, the wise men might have gotten in, but the shepherds certainly would have been turned away by guards at the gate. Yet at the lowly manger, shepherds and kings could approach on an equal footing. God's gift of life through the death and resurrection of his only begotten Son is for all people. God in his love did not send down a delegation, a commission, or an unapproachable monarch, but a little baby. A little baby. If Jesus was only spirit and not true flesh and blood, then his birth and consequently his death would mean nothing. And if he was only a man with original sin and guilt as you and I are, then again, his death would mean nothing for you and me. Oh yeah, he would accomplish perhaps the saving of his own life. But if he is not the Word of God made flesh, then his death on the cross would not cover the sins of the world. And his resurrection would not give us the promise of hope and eternal life. As it is, We have the written word of God and God's Holy Spirit to open our eyes to this truth. Only the Holy Spirit can lead us to recognize who Jesus is as both God and man at the same time, as the one who came to sacrifice himself for the world. Many years ago, during the Christmas season, an agnostic newspaper reporter saw three little girls standing in front of a store window, which was full of toys and Christmas decorations. He walked up behind them and listened in on their conversation. One of the little girls was blind. The other two were trying to describe for her some of the toys in the window. The reporter marveled at how difficult it was for the girls to describe these toys to someone who simply had never seen before. That became the basis of his newspaper story for that week. 2 weeks later, he attended a worship service led by the great preacher Dwight Moody. The reporter had gone intending to write a piece about Christmas religious practices. Well, that Sunday, Moody, not knowing the reporter or not knowing that the reporter was in the sanctuary, told the newspaper story about the girls to illustrate the difficulty of unbelievers who are spiritually blind, of unbelievers seeing the glory and the gifts of Jesus as our Savior. God's Holy Spirit touched that reporter's heart that day through the Word of God preached to him. And he became a child of God through faith in Jesus. Without the aid of the Holy Spirit, we simply cannot see that Jesus came and totally emptied himself of what it meant to be in possession of his divinity, of his godness, while he was among us in mortal flesh. He made himself nothing, we are told. Literally, that phrase means he emptied himself. That's the expression St. Paul uses in Philippians 2. Now, I'm simply not capable of truly grasping the significance of this magnificent act because I can't truly grasp what it means to be in heaven. In heaven, Christ was surrounded by all the glory that surrounds the dwelling place of God. Myriads of holy angels worshiped and praised him without ceasing. But he didn't retain that divine glory and majesty or his divine rights, divine status, or divine beauty. He let it all go for a time. He emptied himself of all glory, of all majesty, of all light. He left the holy and the perfect realm of heaven to come to earth. And he gave up heaven willingly in order to make his dwelling with us. In his incarnation, he took on weak and frail human flesh. And more than that, Jesus was not given even human allure or appeal. There was nothing in his appearance that would give us a hint or a clue as to his divine human, as to his divine nature hidden under his human nature. Isaiah 53:2, in foretelling the coming of the suffering servant of God, who would redeem all mankind, we're given this description of the servant. For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus exchanged the glories of heaven to live in our sinful, fallen world. In heaven, he looked into the unstained eyes of the holy angels who worshiped him. In this world, he saw only sin and rebellion in the eyes that surrounded him. He traded his rightful crown of glory for thorns and a cross for you, for me, for the world that God created and loves. Now today we celebrate. Today we celebrate that Christ is born, that the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling among us so that he could die and rise again for us. That is the greatest of Christmas gifts, knowing that God is for us, that God knows our needs and comes in the flesh of Jesus to touch us and to meet our needs. Now, I'm going to close with what may seem to be a bit of a strange story at Christmas time. This is a story to help illustrate what it means that God has come to us and that God has touched us. Millions of people watched as Greg Norman blew a huge lead in the Masters Golf Tournament in the spring of 1995, losing to Nick Faldo. After the debacle, the golf star says he experienced, quote, the most touching few days of his life. People from all over the world contacted him with words of encouragement. The mail ran four times the volume of what Norman received when he won the British Open in 93. It's changed my life, he said. My total outlook on life and on people, Norman declared, or Norman says of the defeat. There is no need for me to be cynical anymore. My wife said to me, you know, maybe this is better than winning the green jacket. Maybe now you understand the importance of it all. I never thought, he said, I never thought I could reach out and touch people like that. And the extraordinary thing is that I did it by losing. That's what the incarnation means for us. We've been reached out to by God in our loss, truly in our being dead under sin and the power of the devil. God has come to touch us with more than mail and kind words. He came to touch us by becoming like us. And odd as it seems, Jesus came in the flesh, so he too could lose everything in his death on the cross. And then by his divine power, he rose again in triumph and victory. And that victory he has given to us by his gift of faith. That touch of God is now ours. And nothing can take that away from us. And we have that touch because the baby Jesus has come and touched us in taking on our humanity. Christmas is this baby, is the Word of God to us. Christmas is God telling us that he is touching us. Christmas goes beyond the symbols of the season to its substance. The Word became flesh and makes his dwelling with us. Jesus, the substance of the incarnation, is the reason that we can say, Merry Christmas. In his name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth, the meditation.